Today we, oh sorry, I didn't pray for the offering. Can't forget that. Father, we just thank you for everything that's just been given. We pray for blessings. We pray for wisdom. We pray for protection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Andrew helped me a bit with this one, but if you have any ideas of what electricity girl means, what Pastor Stephen said, please get in contact because I'd love to know. That's his new phrase for me these days. I don't know what it means. Anyway, so as mentioned in the video from Pastor Stephen, we're doing our story, our future. So we're going to be doing it this week and next week. And next week, there is cards there. I'll talk a bit about this at the end, but there's cards there on your chair for the offering next week. In case you're not familiar with our story, our future, it's essentially our investment into our building fund at a very basic level, where we make a faith promise on those cards of what you're going to give into what the church is doing around the buildings. But it's more than just about buildings. It's about faith. It's about our story as a church and how it connects to the story of God. So that's our story, our future. Today I'm going to be sharing about City of Refuge, and I'll focus on three things. Number one, being set apart. Secondly, a place of encounter. And lastly, I'll talk about an update on our giving, specifically around World Vision. We're going to see some videos and all of that. So we're going to read from Numbers chapter 35, verse 6 to 13. So this is God commanding the Israelites about establishing cities of refuge. So it says, six of the towns you give the Levites will be cities of refuge, to which a person who has killed someone may flee. In addition, give them 42 other towns. In all, you must give the Levites 48 towns, together with their pasture lands. The towns you give the Levites from the land the Israelites possess are to be given in proportion to the inheritance of each tribe. Take many towns from a tribe that has many, but few from one that has few. Then the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into Canaan, select some towns to be your cities of refuge, to which a person who has killed someone accidentally may flee. They will be places of refuge from the avenger, so that anyone accused of murder may not die before they stand trial before the assembly. These six towns you give will be your cities of refuge. That phrase appears a few times, cities of refuge. Here we see there were clearly identified and accessible places to which those who were in danger could flee and find protection. Most significantly, these cities belonged to the Levites. These were the tribe that were set apart to serve God and teach his word. So I just want to talk about being set apart, the church being set apart. This year, our story of future invites us to consider how our church buildings support a similar spiritual mission. So our story of future is about building a visible, welcoming, and enduring church where people can run to the Lord Jesus and find hope. We know that God is our refuge and our strength, the scripture tells us, a very pleasant help in trouble. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus declared that his people are the light of the world. And we hear in Matthew 5 that we are a city set on a hill, that a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. The church cannot be hidden. Therefore, our visibility matters. Our buildings are not merely structures. They're places of worship. They're where discipleship happens, where prayer happens, where healing happens, where the gospel is proclaimed. Now, you could say all that stuff can happen in your own home, which is true. You could say all that stuff can happen, you can watch it online, which is true. But the church is called to be visible and accessible, where the broken, the burdened, and the spiritually desperate can encounter the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord who says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. There is something unique about the church of God. And we know that we as a church, we are the bride of Christ. But now we're specifically talking about the buildings themselves and how they bring people together. We can't take away from that. We have a place of encounter. The church becomes a place of encounter. Who knows, there's something different about encountering the Lord when you're watching a screen and encountering the Lord when you're gathered with other believers. Who knows, there's a difference. It's not that one is inferior, but there is a difference. So the church is a place of encounter. There are many places we can gather, our homes, sporting events, concert halls, for different things. Things that we as Christians engage in, everyday life. But a church is where we come together to worship and give God praise together. It's where we come to fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and intentionally encounter him. When we come to church, we are making a statement to say, I want to intentionally encounter him. Sometimes we walk through the doors of church and walk out the same. If for some, we walk out worse. And that's usually because there's some type of friction going on, either between you and other people or between you and God, and church just represents that, right? Life can be complicated than that, like that. But ultimately, the Lord Jesus is our true and eternal refuge. Hebrews 6:18, it says, through him we have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. As his church, we are called to point people towards that hope. The church matters. The church buildings matter. You know, it was interesting when I was preparing for this message, I decided to go and watch one of the videos, previous videos when we were doing our story, Our Future. And I watched a message that I did and what the Lord, shared with me. And it was this. I was in Botswana and I visited this really small church that my mother goes to. And when I was there, I could see all the needs. I could see what was needed. And the word, and I'm talking about in terms of like there was a need for painting, there was needs for fixing the chairs and all of the just practical things. And what the Lord put in my heart at the time was this. The building matters. And then he also gave me, the building doesn't matter. The building matters. The building does not matter. And what the Lord was showing me there was that sometimes we can get caught up with making sure that the building looks a certain way. We can get so focused on the superficial stuff and making everything pretty, right? And I'm talking beyond just having a church building that works. But sometimes we can get caught up in that. And in the sense he was saying, the building doesn't matter if you don't encounter the Lord Jesus Christ in that building. In that sense, it doesn't really matter. It also doesn't matter because you can encounter the Lord Jesus under a tree. Who knows that? You can encounter him in your car, anywhere. So in that sense, the building doesn't matter. But the building also matters because in that moment for me, I was able to recognize the role that I could play. I was able to recognize what I could give in that space. And sometimes that's what church represents, that you may not be able to see if you decide you're going to just do church at home. I mean, there's different reasons why people have to do that. But if you just decide, well, you know what, I don't like Christians, so I don't like people, so I'm not going to go to church. I'm just going to stay home. Yeah, it's true. Some people just don't like people for different reasons. But it's important to recognize that there is a role that you play. When you come into a space like this, there is all types of needs, and you have a solution to somebody's problem. And unless you actually engage in conversation with people, or you are involved in that environment, you will never know how much you are needed. We've got people here with all types of skills, all types of knowledge, but there's lots of suffering because we're not having the conversations, we're not having the interactions. That's why it's so important to be involved in a community. Now, various ones are involved in different types of communities. Like I said, there's sporting events, there's work, there's all sorts of things that we're all involved in. But the church is different in terms of what it brings, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the encounter you get to have with people with similar beliefs. So I just wanted to highlight there. Now I want to talk about our secondary giving. Now, through our secondary giving, we contribute toward maintaining the buildings and reducing our mortgage. So I'll talk a little bit more about that next week. There's a slide we'll go through. But it's really important to understand that everything that we give is why we have the building work well. So we'll go into it next week. But for now, I want to talk about World Vision. There's some key achievements through World Vision. We started sponsoring World Vision this year, and that's why I say we are a generous church. People's lives are being changed. Children's lives have been changed. Those are some of the children that are being sponsored through both Fremantle and Kwinana. So through child sponsorship and community partnerships, children in Ruakirk, I think that's how you say it, they're experiencing improvements in their learning, better health and nutrition, and stronger family livelihood. The impact goes beyond the individual child. It impacts the family. It impacts the whole community. So I just want to share the story of a young lady called Chenda. If we can put up that slide, I don't know if you'll be able to see Chenda. So World Vision just sent us, you know, some information, just some words from the child. So Chenda is 11 years old, and she shared how before World Vision supported their church, there was no special place for children to read books or join with reading activities. Now, those are some of the things that we might take for granted. But for some people, that's a big deal. It has a great impact. And so since World Vision helped their church, they established something called a reading camp. And apparently they spend about 2 hours at the reading camp with friends every Sunday. And the one thing that caught me from what this child said was this, that she has become more confident reading with her friends. That word specifically captured me. That there's some things that we do, and when we sponsor children, we might just think about it in terms of, okay, they're going to have food, they're going to have education. But we don't always see the other deeper layers of what we are doing. Confidence, who knows, confidence is not easy to come by. Especially if you've had some really negative experiences growing up around who you are, your identity. So that word really captured me. I was like, you know what? It's more than just food. It's more than just health and education. It's about something that is going to take her far. Who knows? Confidence can take you far. And a loss of confidence can cause you to stagnate in life. It can paralyze you. We have people in the church at the moment who are paralyzed. People who won't step out in faith because they lack confidence. Not the fault of their own, but there is a lack of confidence. So when I saw that, it really captured my attention. The second child I want to talk about is a child called Sereni. She's on the right there. She's 9 years old, and she talks about how before World Vision started working with the community, she didn't know much about children's rights and protection or about activities that could help children like her. Now, she tells a story of her family and how in their family, the mom, I think, in particular, just didn't know how to parent well. And so the way that she would respond to her and her siblings was to use, I guess, aggression or violence. So this child encountered world vision, and I didn't know this about world vision, but they work with the community around awareness with issues of child protection and safety. Once again, I saw that there are so many other benefits that we are not aware of when we pick up that card and say we're going to sponsor a child. But she goes on to talk about how one of the things that happened was that her parents, specifically her mother, became part of a program that World Vision was running where they increase awareness around child protection and how now the way that her mother parents is completely different. And so that was once again something else. So I wanted to share that to say there are things that you're doing or things that are happening because of your actions that you're not even aware of. So don't ever underestimate the power of the things that you're doing. Even what Jeff was sharing in regards to the work of Port Care, never underestimate the power of providing a meal. On the surface, it's about the meal, but that meal sends a message to that person. And down the track, they'll be able to refer back to what was done here. Rebecca in Fremantle talked about the work of Port Care, and she specifically talked about how we all make a difference. We all play a part. And she talked about even giving a smile. I love that one because I like smiling. I don't know who else does. A few people, I think. Some people can't stand smiles, right? But a smile does incredible things, especially when you're encountering someone who's going through some difficult times and you're not even aware of, but God is aware. There are things that God is aware of that you and I are not. That is why it's important to always make yourself available and say, Lord, here I am. Or here am I, use me for your purposes. That's why when the Lord says to you, go and shake that person's hand, it's important to be obedient. Obedience is so important. And that's why I was talking about being comfortable with looking like a fool, being comfortable with awkward, because sometimes the Lord will challenge you to do things that take you out of your comfort zone, right? But there is a purpose to it. There are things that the Lord knows that we don't know. All right, I'm going to stop there and let Jeff play the video from one of the, I think he's
Hello,
one of
Pastor
the managers.
And a member of C3 Church in Fremantle and Quinana. On behalf of the children, family, and community in Rukakuri, I would sincerely thank you for your love, prayer, support. Since March, we have continued working with community and partners to support the children's education, child protection, health and nutrition, clean water and sanitation, early childhood and development, building secure livelihoods and social accountability to improve the quality of public service. Your support is creating the better opportunity and bright future for the children in Rukakuri. Please pray for us. First, please pray for the children to grow in their learning, confidence, and potential. Second, please pray for the vulnerable children and family who are facing challenges with nutrition, livelihood, water, and other basic needs. And third, please pray for wisdom, strength, and good collaboration among our community, local authority, volunteer and community as we continue serving our children. Thank you, C3 Church, for standing with the children of Rukakuri community. May God bless you, your churches, and your families. Thank you.
Amen. Please give yourself a hand for your generosity. That's incredible. You know, what I liked about what he said that I think we really need to grab hold of, he said, thank you for your love. You know, for a lot of us, when we are doing those sponsorships, we are not thinking necessarily that what is being received there is love. But that's exactly what is being received. And he says, opportunity for a brighter future. And then he asks for prayer, that we pray for the children, that they would grow. And, you know, you may not necessarily be sponsoring a child through World Vision. You may be doing it through somewhere else, or you may not be doing it at all. But you can still give your time in prayer. Every little thing that we do matters. So I just wanted to remind us that we are in a place, that's why we're praying for capacity. So I'm just going to get you to just stand up, because I just want to give people an opportunity, especially people who have never had the opportunity to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We want the Lord to be our place of refuge. He is the ultimate place of refuge. He is the one that centers us. There's no safer place than being in the embrace of our Lord Jesus Christ because of the work that he did on the cross. So with every eye closed, I'm just going to ask that we pray. If you pray after me, we do this every week, but there's always need to do it because someone may have never done it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. I know that I am a sinner. Please come into my life. Forgive me for my sins. Please be my place of refuge all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. With every eye closed, if that was the first time that you prayed that prayer, could I just see your hand, please, so we can just help you on this journey? If you prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you prayed it before and it was a recommitment, thank you, my sister. Thank you. Anybody else? You prayed that prayer for the first time? I'm just going to stand for a little while and be awkward, because this matters. Anybody else? I think I'm loving this too much, this awkward thing. Okay. So we will get someone to attend to our sister there. But no, it says that heaven rejoices for anyone who commits their life. So, Father, I just thank you for my sister who raised her hand. I thank you, Father, for the shift that's happened in heaven for her and for her family, for her and for everybody that is connected to her, Lord. I pray for blessings over her and over her family. And I pray that this journey that she's embarking on, Lord, will just show her more and more how much you love for her, you love her, and how significant she is to you. We thank you for her life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We celebrate with her and her family. All right. Before I forget, please make sure you take one of these cards with you. Go pray about it. Talk to your family about it. Talk to God about it. How much to give, how to give. We do encourage people to commit because this is a faith promise. So if you want to do a one-off, that's fine. But if we can do the more longer-term commitment, that's really helpful because it also helps us with our planning around our buildings and what we do there. So thank you. Next week is our week where we will be collecting the offering. All right, let's just worship. Then if you need prayer, please come to the front.
The Lamb of God, blessing and honor, awe and wonder, awe and wonder. Jesus, our corner. Okay.
Father, we just thank you for this opportunity that we've had to just gather together as a church in this building with our different selves. I thank you, Father, that everyone in this room is a miracle. Everyone in this room has capacity to do more. You said greater things shall you do. I pray, Father, for our mindset, Lord. May we have the mind of Christ. May we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Lord, I pray for those who have wounds that have caused them to not believe that they are capable, that they are able to do more, that they are able to have that capacity, Lord. I pray against anything that has been spoken over their lives by the enemy, using members of their family, Lord, using friends, using voices. Your word says, my sheep hear my voice. Father, may we hear only your voice, and may we silence every voice that is not of you. May we nip in the bud every thought that comes that is not of you. May we hold captive every thought that comes to kill, steal, and destroy, because you came that we may have life and life more abundantly. So I speak blessings over every individual, over every couple, married couple. I pray blessings over every family. Thank you, Father, that the best is yet to come. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have a great week, people. Don't forget your cards. We'll bring them back next week.